This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Hard salami's okay, but it's not as good, right? Although, maybe if you're French vanilla, you'd be like hard salami.
You mean the best vanilla?
The fake vanilla.
The real, the delicious
the
vanilla?
The fake vanilla.
The creamy vanilla without sand and dirt in it?
It's Mike Shope.
I like that
sand
one.
Sand and dirt. The beans?
Yeah.
The
yes.
Specks?
Yes.
Are the problem?
Yeah, it's granular.
The actual what vanilla is, the absolute worst take you've ever had. Because it's on different levels of offensiveness.
I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
And the Bulldog.
Maybe when you first made the ice cream, they were interested in making it, I don't know, good, and added cream to it to make it creamy, it's like thus ice cream, not ice sand. Ice gravel.
People, what are we even doing?
I mean, what are we talking about?
Help.
Police! Help! Police! Help!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Crazy timing because I think Bulldog would know I almost never eat ice cream. But
I rarely eat ice cream either.
I think it had probably been years.
Ooh.
Until last night.
It's not been years for me.
Last night.
Months. I'll go months.
My son's birthday.
All right.
And I can't remember the name of it, but it was a sea salt, caramel, chocolate chip kind of ice cream. It was great.
Sounds a little busy for me.
Well, I mean, I believe it.
Salt?
Because even the vanilla beans and vanilla ice cream are right. Too much for you.
I don't think I want
You've got to have nothing.
I don't think I want
it's got to be plain.
I don't think I want salty ice cream.
It was really good. I have to find out the name of it. It wasn't coffee cup, but it was something like that. Something sort of... catchy like That wasn't it.
I know. I understand. We got a guest to get to. Any kind of coffee flavored ice cream always tastes like I'm sticking my tongue in the coffee grounds after you've made coffee.
Ben Arthur, just the first question you expected. What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Yeah, it was pretty unexpected. I'd actually say probably strawberry. I'm a big fan of strawberry.
Oh, I love that. See, now, yeah. Bulldog, we've never talked about this, but strawberry ice cream, you want the little pieces of strawberries in it. You agree?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, we won't talk about this ever again because we agree. I mean,
when I was a little kid, strawberry like a double cone at Big Wheel. That was the thing.
The little pieces.
Yeah.
You like the little pieces, Ben?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the little chunks. Yeah, I can't get enough of that.
All right, Ben Arthur, our guest from NFL on Fox, the Bills host, the team he covers, Tennessee Titans, Sunday at 1:00. My first question is, my next question is, what is Will Levis's status here? Because, you know, I see him on the injury report this week. Yep. It didn't really read like much, but today, was he downgraded?
Yeah, it's really interesting because Brian Callahan spoke to, like, local media not too long ago, and that didn't come up at all. He had progressed through the week, right? Like he was limited Wednesday, but he practiced fully Thursday. He seemed to kind of start to put the shoulder thing behind him, and then all of a sudden the injury report comes out and it's somewhat of a surprise. So it's kind of a surprise to everyone, but I know in their game last week against the Colts, Will did talk a little bit how just with some of those throws down the field it was kind of a little bit difficult for him, so I don't know. Maybe there was a flare-up or something, but yeah, that's definitely something to watch, and certainly maybe changes the complexion of this game. So,
Yeah, without them talking about it here, and the week is over, you're just going to have to wait till Sunday now, I would imagine, right? There's really no media availability after today. Maybe the full practice did some harm to him, and he's too sore. How big of a loss? I mean, we know the turnovers, and it's been like a meme factory with the mistakes he's made that have been, you know, just really, really tough. If it is Mason Rudolph, like, is that even maybe an improvement for them?
Honestly, in many ways, it probably would be an improvement, just because, you know, with Mason, like, you're not getting the turnovers, right? Like, you're not pushing the ball down the field, but Will hasn't really been pushing the ball down the field this year at all. And so if they're both not pushing the ball down the field and one of them isn't turning the ball over, I mean, you'd think it would be that guy, right? And that's definitely Mason Rudolph. But honestly, guys, like, I don't know that it changes their approach all that much. I mean, as much as in the offseason people talked about the Titans passing attack kind of popping off, it's been their run game that has kind of led the way. I mean, I know they're still 1-4, but the rushing game is like the one thing they do well on offense. I mean, Tony Pollard has been really, really good for them. They're in the top half of the league in rushing yards per game. And I know the Bills have maybe struggled a bit. I mean, I know the Ravens game is probably a bit of an outlier, but overall, I think if you're the Titans, you look at kind of pounding the ball as kind of a possible advantage. And so I think regardless of if it's Will at quarterback or Mason at quarterback, I think that's their approach.
I do want to get back to that, but I'd also like your perspective here first, Ben, on Levis's sort of long-term, it's not even that long necessarily, job security. Like, are we at a point here, 1-4? They go to the Bills and then to Detroit these next two games. I don't know, like, that they could get pretty close pretty quickly to a season, you know, if you will, a lost season. And I think they could either keep trying with him in that scenario or be done with it. He's tricky for me because he was a second round pick. It's not as obvious as a guy picked in like the top 10, where a team would just almost have to die trying getting their quarterback right. I don't know if that's the case with Tennessee.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, if we remember, like, he did have a like, a lot of people thought he was going in the first round, right? Like, there were, you know, so there was that whole element. He just kind of fell to them in the second round. So that's one interesting component to it. But I think the Titans' perspective, and I'm not sure that this has really changed, is that either you're going to keep playing him and he tanks you into a spot to where you could try on another quarterback, whatever one of the top guys, or, you know, he keeps playing into improvement, eventual improvement. And so I think that's kind of been their number one objective, right, is to kind of figure out, can he be the guy or not? And obviously right now it doesn't look good, but in totality, I think he's only started about, 13 games or so? So the sample size really still, it's not that big. And this is his first year in a new scheme, offensive-minded coach for the first time. They're still trying to figure things out. And so it looks really, really bad on the outside. And you can certainly feel the pressure on the organization. But they're not really ready to punt him to the moon yet. I think they're still going to give him time. Like I said, I mean, this year has kind of been about kind of figuring out what you have in him. And I think they have to play him, you know, kind of win or loss, because playing Mason Rudolph at this point, just for the heck of it, just to, you know, you don't really solve your long-term issues, right? Because, Rudolph, I mean, he's been a solid quarterback in the league, but he's not your long-term answer, right? And you there's a certain ceiling with a guy like that, right? And with Levis, just because he's 13 games in or so, you still don't really know what you have in him. So, main thing is, like, they're going to keep trying with him. It doesn't look good. right now. But I think the big thing is trying to figure out, okay, how can he get his confidence back? Because that's always been his one of his biggest attributes beyond the arm strength. But he seems, just with the way the year has gone to this point, he's kind of lost that. And so it's about, like, okay, like, how can they figure out how to get that back and see from there, okay, what do we actually have in him?
Ben, I recall that we spoke to you at least one time in the past, yeah. I assume, you know, in the summer, sort of previewing the coming season, looking at who the Bills were going to be playing and that kind of thing. And I don't remember how this part of the conversation would have gone then, but, like, the struggles that Levis is having, considering, I mean, there's some pretty big names. Maybe they're not at the peak of their powers anymore, but Hopkins and Tyler Boyd, and you've got
Ridley.
Calvin Ridley. Yep. Like, yeah. there's a list of guys there. Like, was there an expectation that he would sort of hit the ground running a little bit, or maybe a lot more than he has this year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, right? Like, you take the promise he showed in the 9 games or so he had last year, and you get him an offensive-minded coach. You get him a coach in Brian Callahan who has a really long, great track record with quarterbacks, whether it was Joe Burrow, Matt Stafford, further back to Derek Carr and Peyton Manning. I mean, he kind of has that quarterback track record, and they invest in the O-line. They invest in receiver. They gave Calvin Ridley $50 million fully guaranteed, something like that. And so you take the promise he showed plus the coaching and the personnel. Yeah, everyone did expect him to kind of start to take off a bit. But what we've seen instead is maybe he's pressing a little bit, right? I mean, because everyone kind of knew, okay, this is the year that Will – like, he's going to show the Titans if he's the franchise guy or not. And maybe he's, you know, from a mental standpoint, it really looks mental to me. It really does, because it seems like he's maybe pressing a bit. He with the turnovers, particularly in the first few games, I think because of that, he's kind of dialed it back a bit. And we've seen him, you know, go with the kind of behind the line of scrimmage throws and the, you know, like he's not pushing the ball down the field at all. And maybe part of that is the way they've kind of constructed the offense now, just with the way Tony Pollard has played. But Will has had his chances to kind of attack the deep part of the field, but he hasn't. He's not doing that right now. So yeah, I think it's kind of like a mental thing for him. And like I said earlier, them, like the Titans, trying to figure out a way to, like, make sure he's playing with confidence again, because he's not doing that right now.
What do you think the trade deadline will bring in a few weeks? Because, like, Hopkins is a name that any of those guys could be good ideas for contending teams, but yet Tennessee might be torn because they want to find out as much as they can about Levis, and yeah, divesting themselves of those experienced, talented wideouts could be problematic if that is the end goal. But again, getting future assets also would be nice. Like, how do you think that comes down?
Yeah, it's going to be a delicate balance for the Titans. I think if those opportunities do come to, you know, sell off some of those players, so to speak, I think you have to really look at that, because from a draft capital standpoint, regardless of, you know, what you kind of have in Will Levis or not, like, they're not in great shape just from a draft capital perspective. So you really have to look at those opportunities very closely if you're Rand Carthon in the Titans front office. And yet DeAndre Hopkins, like you said, I think he's probably the top guy right now in terms of trade rumors. You think about just even the wide receiver movement we've already seen with contenders, and I don't know, like a team like the Chiefs or something. Mm-hmm. Someone like that could definitely use a D-hop, right, considering the issues they've had and Rashee Rice and all that. And so, but at the same time, I don't know that losing DeAndre Hopkins would, like, cripple Levis's development, so to speak, right? Like, they still have Ridley. I mean, the connection between Levis and Ridley is kind of off right now, but if you do have to give up and you get good compensation in return for Hopkins. I think you strongly look at that because you still have Ridley, you still have Tyler Boyd. I still think you have some pieces that can potentially step up. So I don't think the desire to see fully what you have in Levis should discourage a move that you think would get you the draft capital that they desperately need. And I don't think giving away someone like DeAndre Hopkins would cripple Levis's development at all.
I get that. I like it. First-year coach plays into that, I think, too. Not a guy that needs to win in his third year or something. Maybe saddled with a quarterback. I think that maybe that helps in that. You know, Ben Arthur, our guest, if everything is sort of on time there, I would feel like Calvin Ridley would get the first pass of this game. Like, the first play would just be an out to Calvin Ridley because of what happened last week. No catches on 8 or 9 targets, like just kind of rare stuff. Yeah. And he complained after the game. He's basically like, get me involved earlier. And not everybody wants to listen to that stuff, but I don't know. Like, if they're sort of trying to work it out, I think that would be, if I'm Tennessee, that's my first play Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely, right? Like, you need to keep these guys engaged. And Ridley, I mean, he's your best receiver. I mean, we know what D-Hop has been in his career, but the reality is he's 32. He's battled a knee thing since, like, training camp. He kind of has had a slower start to the year. And you know, Tyler Boyd is an older player, too. Like, they got him on just a one-year deal, fairly modest salary. I mean, Calvin Ridley is supposed to be your guy based on not only what he looks like, but, like, the money you gave him. And you want to make sure that you're doing whatever it takes to make sure that he's not only staying engaged, but you're also giving him every opportunity to find success and help Will Levis along. And so, and it would only be good for Ridley, right? It would be good for Will Levis just to see, okay, I can get it to my number one guy. Maybe it's not, all the way down the field right now utilizing his speed, but if we could get him on those quick outs or quick slants, whatever it is, just to, because that confidence builder, those kind of like rhythm throws, especially early in the game, just to build that momentum is so important. And so I would not be surprised to see them do that. And then, yeah, I would totally agree with that.
Ben, on the other side of the ball, people who've been following the league and paying attention to the Titans have known about Jeffrey Simmons for a few years now. Drafting Tavondre Sweat to plop down next to him, I mean, I can't remember like a more imposing physically, just like the size of these men next to one another at defensive tackle. Surely there have been dominant tandems throughout the history of the NFL, but these guys are both just, houses.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I don't know what the total pounds is between them, but man, it is hard to move them, right? Like, and Jeffrey Simmons is a guy who has commanded double teams, but now you even have to start to think about that if you're, the opposing offensive line, because Tavondre Sweat is a handful. Like, he is massive, and he moves a lot better than you think a guy his size and his weight would move. I mean, those two, I mean, if they keep them together, like, for, and as they should, I mean, that's going to be a tandem that wreaks havoc for years to come, and not just in the run game, but in the pass game, in terms of being huge threats just in the interior pass rush game. So it definitely starts with those two guys up front, and they have some good corners. I mean, we know, like, Snead, and they have a rookie, Jarvis Brownlee Jr., who's kind of stepped up with their number two guy, Chido Awuzie, on IR. But it starts up front. It absolutely starts up front, and it's really hard to deal with those guys because they both have, they both command double teams. I mean, they both deserve double team like coverage, it's tough.
We've seen Snead on the injury report all week. Final designation is questionable. How questionable is he really?
Yeah, he didn't practice this week, but at the same time, I mean, he's a veteran. Like, he's missed a lot of practice, like dating back to training camp, and that was his thing in Kansas City. Like, he always had his own separate maintenance plan. So if there's any guy who's questionable entering a game and didn't practice the whole week, I mean, Snead is definitely the type who can still play. And with the news that I guess Amari Cooper might play, I mean, you'd ideally want him out there. And so I would, without kind of knowing the intricate details of his particular situation this week, I would expect him to play.
Ben, final thing. So the Bills play this AFC South this year. They've seen Jacksonville. They won easily. They've seen Houston. They lost barely. Now the Titans, later the Colts. How do you see it ending, if I may ask? Like, Houston has a good lead here, but isn't always looking dominant or anything like that. Can anybody else give them a run?
I don't really think so. I mean, the Texans, yeah, they're kind of far and away the best team in this division. And look, entering the year, like, I was one of the people saying that this division would be close because I was big on just year, like, particularly like with the Colts, like, I just saw their upside being able to potentially match the Texans if you, you know, considering.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Year two with Shane Steichen, what he did with Gardner Minshew last year, getting Anthony Richardson back, getting Jonathan Taylor back. But the injuries just have not kind of cooperated with them, and their defense is just giving up so many yards. It's been really tough to watch. Jacksonville is a complete mess, and then Tennessee is – they don't have an identity right now, right, under Brian Callahan. And so – because of all those things and just where I think Houston could go, you mentioned there's kind of some of their struggles to this point, but I think they're going to figure it out. They just got Joe Mixon back. We've seen how important having a dominant run game is to kind of bolstering their dominant passing attack. And so now that Joe Mixon is healthy and we know what their defense is capable of, particularly on the D-line, and they just got Danico Autry back, who had like 11.5 sacks last year with the Titans. He missed the first six games due to suspension. I mean, the Texans are going to run away with this thing for me. And I don't really know who's going to be second because all these other three teams all have their issues. But yeah, I think Houston is kind of, I don't think if I'm the Texans, I'd be kind of too concerned right now.
Guess that makes sense. I mean, they've been close games. Jaguars, Colts. Titans, Colts were close games. Maybe they're all pretty even. Well, Ben, thank you. Do you come up for Titans road games? Will you be here this weekend?
Unfortunately, I will not.
Okay.
For a particular game, yeah.
Too bad, because it's gonna snow. No, I'm just kidding. No, actually not. 70 and sunny, so this would be a good trip to make. But anyway,
sure.
Maybe next time. Thanks, as always, for your time, Ben.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me.
You're welcome. Ben Arthur, NFL on Fox, Bills and Titans from Highmark Stadium, Sunday at 1. Pregame here on WGR starts at 8 in the morning. I mean, nobody's up that early. But if you happen to be, just randomly, somebody woke you up. Your alarm, you forgot to turn your alarm off because it's Sunday. So, 8 o'clock. We're here.
Got to get up, get the coffee on for that 9:30 kickoff between the Jaguars and the Patriots. Gotta get her fired up.
I love hate the Sunday mornings. I mean, I'll always watch a game. I wish there was a game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But for fantasy, it is so annoying. Yeah. It's just, I mean, these are not good teams, but it's just stuff that you have to think about. The high stakes world, the waivers run, like last minute waivers run Sunday morning. You know, most leagues, you just do it whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
10 o'clock on Sunday is the waivers, and this just gets right in the way of it. So,
preach.
First world problems. Preach. Yeah. I mean, I like it. I love watching it, but I also just, it's just one more kind of bump in the road planning for Thursday night. Got used to it every week. Thursday night, you just know.
Yeah.
Sunday morning, this is the last London game.
I usually do all that waiver work on Sunday mornings while I'm making my French toast. It's not a big deal. I get through it.
By the way, Cookie Jar was the name of the ice cream, not coffee.
Cookie Jar.
Cookie Jar.
Yeah.
803-0550 for your calls. Bills Titans Sunday. What do you think? Amari Cooper. Earlier, Sam Panionovic said, I love Amari Cooper to score in this game. I don't think I do, but maybe he's right. Sal coming up at 5, lines open until then. This is Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
You know, in fairness to Amari, I would say he's only been here on a short week. That is, 3 days now? This will be his third practice. We did a walkthrough on Wednesday due to the Monday night game there. So we'll see where it goes. And at the end of the day, we're happy to have him, and we look forward to good things going forward.
Sean McDermott on WGR earlier today. Amari Cooper looking good. James Cook all the way good. Ray Davis might miss, though.
Sounds like it, yeah. Ooh, did we just get running with the devil as a bump there? Is that what that was? Wow, I only caught it at the end. Anyway, sorry.
That's a little river band, I believe.
Yes, a little river band. Of their legendary,
reminiscing
of their legendary first self-titled album, Little River Band, running. Imagine the Little River Band performing a song like "Running with the Devil."
I would love it. I'm ready for it. Cool change, and let's hear the Rolling Stones? Let's hear the Rolling Stones perform "Cool Change." A little bit of a mashup. You know people.
Oh, I'll try to get something done for you.
Yeah, get something done.
I'll try to get something done there.
I would love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ray Davis, too bad. Like, that might have been a practice injury yesterday.
Well, I think McDermott said he hurt himself late in the game against the Jets. They thought he was okay, and then it kind of cropped up again yesterday.
Just like Cook and Houston.
Yeah.
That was the Cook injury, late in the game against Houston.
Yeah.
We got to get these guys off the field late in the game.
For all the, the training staff, except for Davis, and he's not even a starter. Like, there's nothing happening there at all. Like, Ed Oliver's going to be back. I mean, Milano is still on IR, so they're still missing him, but they've got their guys.
Football Friday on WGR brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
I love a Cooper touchdown on Sunday.
You do?
Yes, I do.
What does that pay?
Just a little. Give me. I don't know what it pays at this point. I've not done my work for Sunday yet. I usually do that Sunday morning. I will do that Sunday morning while I'm watching the Patriots get destroyed by Jacksonville. Hopefully.
Are you picking them, Jacksonville? I am.
I'm not picking that game.
I am.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I'm on a heater.
I couldn't see either team winning, really, when I thought about it.
Yes.
Because there is pleasure in Jacksonville going up in flames, too. Like, if they somehow were to lose by 15 or something to New England, maybe Peterson gets fired the minute he sets foot back in Florida.
Do you want that, though? Like, is he that much of a scourge on your existence that you're like, you would take pleasure in his getting fired? You like just everybody getting fired.
I don't like him. I know that.
You don't like him?
I don't like him. No.
Doug Peterson.
Toward the end in Philly, he got just a little too... There was something with the media while he was still in Philly that really... It was very arrogant and just it really annoyed me. You know, I thought this would work. I thought he was a good coach. I just thought he was kind of jerky. And it's not working. And so, yeah, it feels right to me that he'll get fired. They've invested $250 million in their quarterback, and they're 1-5. It's not going to – they don't have to do it during the season, but unless they turn it around dramatically, he's not making it out of this
year. I don't dislike him.
Okay.
Though. And if they can get to 9 wins – aren't they one of these teams that you would maybe think could get in? Well, I mean, how many games does the 7 seed win? 10? Do they have to win 10?
No.
Who's it going to be?
Pittsburgh won 9 and got in last year, I think. Wasn't that a 9-win team last year? Or did they get to 10?
I think
maybe they
10.
Got to 10. Sorry.
I don't know. Cleveland won 11 and went to Houston in the first round and lost. Yeah. But I think didn't they win 11 games? Cleveland? Pittsburgh was 10-7. Jacksonville, Indianapolis were 9-8. And so was Cincinnati, and all didn't make it.
Maybe did the NFC have it? Yeah, Tampa was 9-8, and so was Green Bay, and they both made it last year, right?
Right. Green Bay was a wild card, so that's the same. Right. Tampa was division winner. Right. New Orleans also. And Seattle were also 9-8.
No.
Okay, so 9 or 10 is the answer. Can Jacksonville get to 9?
No.
It's that simple?
No. I mean, you know.
Come on. Ready?
This will help, maybe. They'll beat New England on Sunday.
Home probably. To Green Bay.
Loss.
At Philadelphia.
Loss.
Sunday night should be flexed. If Peterson's fired, they flex the game, especially because there's not that narrative.
Sure.
I'm at 2-7.
Yeah.
Home to Minnesota.
Loss.
Or forget it.
They're done.
At Detroit.
My God.
Fine.
He's getting fired.
Fine.
You're going to be on my porch trying to sell me a vacuum cleaner, I predict. No, he'll probably do all right.
Cooper at BetMGM is plus 150 to score.
Yeah.
Kincaid is plus 250. I like that more.
There's a little play. I feel like maybe this has been even pointed out specifically on social media. I'm not sure. But there was a Hollins attempt in the end zone on Monday night. Where he and I think Aikman maybe broke it down, or maybe I watched a video of someone else breaking it down. Forgive me, this stuff all just sort of melds together. I should be better than this, but you know I'm not. I'm sorry. At least in this case, where Hollins, if he had sort of run across a little more, as opposed to just keeping running back toward the back of the end zone, it would have given Allen like a window to put that ball in that would have been more convenient, and maybe that's a touchdown. I feel like Cooper, like that sort of play, they're gonna draw up for Cooper to beat a guy off the line and just 7-yard touchdown, bing. I feel like that'll happen on Sunday. I'm calling it. Cooper's gonna score from inside the red zone on Sunday.
But you, in a betting sense, you'd rather bet, I guess, yes, Cooper to score at plus 150 than Kincaid at plus 250. Kincaid got to 50 yards for the first time this year. Can we just have a game that will put minds at rest about his talent?
It'd be good to have it. Oh, it's time.
I've got a guy now that can separate and win down the field. So isn't the pivot Kincaid then? Not just like for four-yard air yard passes, like just real stuff.
Yeah, I think in football theory, that should be available, more available now, because what you know, how should it work if you've got a guy? Tennessee wants to put Snead on Cooper. Oh, okay, like maybe they'll think we can just do that one-on-one and we don't have to worry about it. If they do have to worry about it, then you're taking a safety and you're doing that, and so what does that do? Your bracketing the number one, with the value of having a number one wideout, somebody that can win one-on-one. If you feel like you got to do that, then something else should be more available. There's less dudes to go around. So, yes, eventually, whether it happens right away or not, Kincaid, this should be good for Kincaid. It should be good for Shakir that they have, like, Shakir especially, like, he's already been, like, a favorite target of Allen without Diggs here this year. Now that Cooper's here, Shakir should eat too. Like that should happen. I don't know how soon it happens. I'm bullish on a Cooper touchdown on Sunday, but I'm not ready to assume like they're designing their offense around him drawing coverages and like therefore opening up all this other stuff for everyone else. I think that'll be a process that unfolds over the next few weeks, but that should happen. It's part of the value of having that guy.
He and Kincaid, and for that matter, Shakir, are all about the same in terms of yards props in this game. 36.5, 35.5, 32.5. So, okay.
But yes, by Sunday, I won't have forgotten about this Cooper thing, but the Kincaid, what did you say the number was on Kincaid? Plus 250?
250 to score, but he never scores.
I know, but it'll get me every time. I'll be looking at it going, if he's due.
It hasn't
I lose a lot of bets.
It hasn't really hurt them yet. The thesis on Kincaid and I think also Coleman was touchdowns. And Kincaid has one against Jacksonville, that one broken play back of the end zone. Coleman had a touchdown in that game. He had one against Houston as well. And around the goal line, Allen is such a sure thing still that they're still not, like even Cook was scoring, getting a couple of red zone handoffs that he took in. So they haven't really had a problem yet. Knox scored against the Jets in the red zone last week. I don't know. They're getting by. They're getting by. But I think the idea here is that Kincaid and, you know, to an extent, Coleman are red zone, end zone target useful options for Allen. Diggs and Davis, so many end zone targets were vacated by those two guys. Like, where are they going? So maybe now it's Amari Cooper and that's just it. But love to see Kincaid. I don't want to have any hang-ups about what he means to them. I mean, in the end, they don't care. Like, if they win, it's like Mahomes and his wide receivers. If they're going to win every week and win Super Bowls despite who catches the ball, what do they care?
Right.
What they spent draft capital on Sky Moore.
But until you win, then...
You have to win, right.
Right.
But I don't want to have this dragging me along all season. Like, just what Kincaid... Why did we do this? Because Dorsey wanted him? Because JSN had gotten picked and Quentin Johnston? Like, what would the Bills have done if they had one of those receiver options at that spot? Would they have traded up for... Jordan Addison? Right. Those were the four guys.
Yep.
I don't know. I've always said about this, like, I don't question Kincaid's talent. I don't blame him, really. But I want to see it be efficient. And they've changed coordinators, and now they're a run-heavy team, relatively. And Knox, you know, is still there and does things. Like, just Kincaid is only kind of a medium level at best factor in their offense, and maybe that even goes down with Cooper now. So, but if it does and they win, who cares? Like, that's the point. 803-0550 for your calls. Sal in 20 minutes. Time for a break. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
More Little River Band.
I was just going to say it.
Gotcha.
Everybody knows this is Ambrosia. Nice try. If you think that, boy, he sounds like he's in a good mood, you're right. You know why? Because I just deleted 20,000 emails.
Well done.
My email thing is like, oh, you're getting near the edge. You need to buy storage. Like, watch this. You think I care about these notifications I get every single time anybody in these leagues does a roster change? No. I get, watch this. You can have your storage. I'll quit the internet first. I'm never buying storage, I promise you.
I did a thing with my... I'm a serial deleter. Like, stuff does not live in my inbox for long at all. I'm not a psycho about emptying the trash, although, you know, I'll do that, you know, every few weeks or so. But stuff's in there that I'm not interested in. Bing, 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 just get out of here. Yesterday, the way our email, at least the way it works on my iPad, works is I got something saved, say, from like 3 or 4 weeks ago. If I delete that, it goes sort of in the file of trash when it came in. And I did that yesterday with something. I didn't know what it was. Like, I was just going through, and I hit a thing, and I went, oh, I don't think I meant to do that. Like, oh, was that concert tickets? Or like, what was that? Oh, no. And I had to go in, and it was not anything I needed, really. But I had a moment of panic. I had to scroll through, like, 500 deleted emails to find, what did I just delete by mistake?
That's the worst.
It turned out it really wasn't a mistake. I should have done it weeks ago, but I hadn't.
It's tough out there.
It is.
Let's go to Mark next. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Yeah, man.
You know, just listening to McDermott, you know, sort of downplaying the... to me, I just can't understand that. You know, I just hope that with the addition of him, the first play we see to him isn't a little 2 yard behind the line of scrimmage screen pass. You know, I hope somehow this opens things up for everybody, and you know, we maybe let Josh get out of the dink and dunk a little bit and open it up a little bit. So, you know, that's all I got. I think who Tennessee is going to be a little tougher to run against. So I just hope this is a good game for Josh. He gets over 300 yards and a couple TDs. So besides that, you know, good to hear you deleted all those emails. I got to do that tonight.
Thank you.
All right, get on
Thank
it, you, Mark. All right, thanks for
joining the cause. There
Don't,
it is.
My look, everyone can do what they want. We certainly talked about it. You know, the day of the trade. To me, anybody, Bean or McDermott, sort of downplaying or not sounding, they don't want to sound like fanboys, A, right? They also don't want to sound like, oh, thank God, we got a guy that's going to save us. Because there's dudes on the team that have been there for many years or at least since July or whatever that would, you know, sort of feel like, man, the coach is pretty fired up about Amari Cooper. I'm sure they're thrilled to have him. They're just not going to say it publicly because it shines a less than complimentary light on the people that are already here is all I would say to that. You know, I don't know how they'll use them here, especially right away, or if their offense is going to revert to Brian Daboll form or anything. I think that's a lot to ask for or expect. It's not really realistic, but I wouldn't put much stock at all in them sort of downplaying how excited they are about getting Amari Cooper.
And my official take is that if it were entirely up to him, McDermott wouldn't have made this move. That's my official take. So I think there's some reality in how he sounds. We may never know. Thanks for the call, Mark. Allen's over-under passing yards, by the way, for this game is 211.5. So 300 would be pretty good. His high for the season is 263. He had 215 against the Jets in a close game. And they're just not throwing the ball. And it hasn't hurt him yet. We will talk to Sal next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, Football Friday on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.